Unbelievable. I first met Tom when I was asked to serve as the officiant at He and Mary's Wedding 4 years ago, September of 2010. And I was honored to spend just a short amount of time getting to know them as a couple as they prepare for their big day. I remember the first time meeting Tom. I remember immediately feeling right at home. There was something about him that was just warm. The kindness that was coming by, that wit that he had, that was subtle wit, and just kept things easy. See, come on in, we'll sit down. Come on in, folks. Please. As I said a bit earlier, we're here to remember him and to celebrate him, to celebrate his life, to share his stories about his life, to express thankfulness for the time that we all have with him, to laugh and to cry, to mourn and to grieve, and maybe to begin emulating him as an honor of who he was and how he lived his life. And so we've got some folks here set to come on up and share a little bit informally. We will have a time after the formal sharing for any of you to say words about Tom. That's the greatest way we can remember him, and share the stories or what you loved about him. So if you want to be thinking about that, that would be great. I'm going to open it again with a quick word of prayer just to begin this process. So if I can just dive in. Dear God, thank you so much for Tom, for his life, and the impact that he had on so many people. It is we who grieve now, and I just pray for your peace to overwhelm us this morning. Amen. I want to bring up Lynn, Tom's brother, to come on and share a little bit.
Thank you, Tony. I want to thank everybody for coming out today. And I know some of you took off time from work. Some of you have moved from the East Coast. So it's good to see someone here and individual. For those who don't know me, my name is Lynn. I'm Tom's brother, older brother by 18 months. He also brought back my name and sent it down. He mentioned that Tom's unique spelling of his name. T-H-O-M. He didn't always spell it that way. He started out as T-O-M. Somewhere it transgressed T-H-O-M. And I think we got a little humor out of that at the time. At that point, Christmas, he got a present from my mom. It said, "You call T-H-O-M from mom, M-H-O-M. And so he Mary and Tom was back to when we lived in Florida. They moved there from Michigan in the early 60s. We're about a year, we're exactly a year apart from school. We both attended kindergarten, practically a half block from our house. I still remember the kindergarten teacher's name, and so did Tom. Who could forget a name like Mrs. Cannonball? Later we moved on to Ocean Breeze Elementary and Herbert Hoover Junior High. The first few years in Florida, Tom and I got to experience our first hurricane. My dad had boarded up all the windows and secured anything that could possibly move. My dad was prepared to cover Tom and I. At the peak of the storm, Tom and I were in the front yard, trying to see who could lean into the raging wind the furthest without falling to the ground face first. I believe Tom won that first competition between brothers, achieving an excess of 45 degrees while at the same time ducking flying lawn chairs, tree branches, and airborne tests. Florida had and still has a big mud problem. Mosquitoes, gnats, and nosebleeds that come out from Florida on a warm summer night. To combat the bug, city trucks were constant sight after sunset, dispensing a huge white cloud of insecticide. As kids, dozens of us would line up on the curb, waiting for the large white plume to envelop us. How cool it was to run behind a truck down the middle of the busy street, following a truck and reading in who knows what. But it was Tom's smart idea to don our swim mask and snorkel to better enable us to see and breathe as we stumble along behind the bug truck. Wow, I thought to myself, Tom is one bright brother, always looking out for others. Tom and I both began Little League on the Bears, a farm league team coached by my dad. The goal of every player on the farm team was to advance to the minor league, and eventually the majors, where there were real pitchers, not a pitching machine. We eagerly awaited the results of the Little League draft, hoping to move up from the farm league. So finally, Tom was drafted by the minor league Pirates, while I spent another year on the farm league, eventually moving to the major league. But Tom won again there. The exposure to insecticide in our early developmental years apparently did not impede our scholastic progress later on in life. Preparing for college, of course, we both took the SAT test like so many other college-bound kids. Being the son of two science college majors, Tom and I both excelled in math. English was another matter. I was first to take the SAT and really proud of my 790 math score out of the possible 800. I figured I had probably only missed one question. However, Tom went on to score a perfect 800 on his first try. Tom and I both went on to Cal Poly San Luis Obispo, both majoring in mechanical engineering, and both eventually working for a large California utility. Following college, Tom and I continued to have similar interests. Racing and home remodeling were two of those. I focused on triathlons and mountain biking with limited success, but Tom went on to become an elite runner. I still continue to brag on some Tom's race times. A marathon averaging under 6 minutes a mile was amazing in my mind. The one and only time I ran 1 mile under 6 minutes was in college. Home remodeling was the one area I thought I held a competitive advantage over Tom, only because I owned more power tools. My latest project for rainwater tank was inspired by Tom. Of course, I had to install a 500-gallon tank in order to outstreet Tom's 400-gallon tank. Our competitive streak continued into later years. Lately, we both have been into home brewing. I bragged to Tom recently that I had brewed up a Pliny Elder IPA, a local beer that is world-renowned, I'm sure many of you are familiar with. On December 31st, Tom sent me an email while being helpful. Containing a picture of a homemade pizza he had made on new pizza stone, Mary's Island Christmas. Next to the pizza, I think Tom did this intentionally, Tom's homebrewed Pliny the Elder Douglas IPA. Tom was my friend, my competitor, and a fellow brewer, as well as my brother. I'll miss you, Tom, and hope they have Pliny the Elder wherever you are. Thank you.
Next up is Tom storm chasing like John.
Hello, everybody. I have a cold, so bear with me. Tom and I were friends for 34 years. We met in 1981 at a relay race around Lake Merritt in Oakland. Tom ran the race with a sock puppet on his left hand. You know, one of those puppets that looks like a tiger. It was just the sort of goofiness that he maintained all of his life. See, not everyone can pull off something like that. He could because he was so good at everything that he did. Who's managed reading a meeting at PG&E with sock puppets on both hands having a dialogue without appearing ridiculous? Tom could and did that sort of thing all of his life. Tom and I shared mutual passions in running and storm chasing. A lot of people don't realize that he actually preceded me in chasing storms in 1984. He went to Norman, Oklahoma to a gas engineering conference around Memorial Day. Before he left, I told him that that was peak tornado season in Oklahoma. So I drew him a diagram of a kind of thunderstorm called a supercell, showing him where a tornado would occur. So he went to the conference, found a race to cherry pick, for you non-runners, that means the local race that he was likely to win, And that very day, tornado watches were issued for the area. Of course, this was the time before cell phones. I came home from work to multiple voicemails. He was stopping and using payphones and letting me know what he was saying. Rotating wall clock, that's a funnel, large tail, you should be here. These were multiple phones. By the time I actually talked to him, he was back at his hotel. He said he was hooked, and that if I ever wanted to go storm chasing, we would make a team. Me, the meteorologist who knows severe storms, and Tom, not a meteorologist, but as a scientist with insatiable curiosity. Except for 3 years when his daughters were born or small, Tom and I chased storms from 1985 to 2013, mostly from 10 days to almost 3 weeks. It was a testimony to our shared love of running, storms, and goofiness that this partnership flourished for that 28-year period in storm chasing. Each day we'd get up at 7 in the morning. Tom would make coffee. He would always be up first. We would stretch and then out the door for a run. Sometimes we would find local races to run, but mostly these were just an attempt to continue our workouts while we were out storm chasing. Tom was always a much more talented runner, as Lynn mentioned, than I ever was. But there was a time early in our friendship together that I would be just a few minutes behind in road races or these daily runs. There was a 13-year age difference between us, and that began to take its toll in the late 1990s. Not only did I not keep up in these daily morning runs, I would simply be way behind. But this is another insight into Tom's personality. He always knew exactly where the other people in his life were at every minute. He knew that part of what we did was having a shared experience both in running and storm chasing. So he always the leader on these runs, but when he disappeared in the midst of some rabbit war in the streets in places like Odessa, Texas, he'd always mark his path with twigs, or sheets of paper or made to look like an arrow. He stopped and actually did it. So he wanted me to run the exact same course so that we could talk about it. Sometimes he has time to create six figures with friends. Playing the right direction, then when we talk about the run as if we had done it together, as we had breakfast, once or twice a week we actually flirted and had a soda. It became a running joke between us, eating those things. He even found us a tour of the Krispy Kreme Donut Factory in Hayes, Kansas. One of the hilarious moments about donuts was when we could not find a place to get a donut along Interstate 80 in Nebraska. I remember him chanting, "Donuts, donuts, donuts, donuts," as we were driving along. Then, this is a true story, now you won't believe it. Then in the distance, we spotted, this is on Interstate 80, we spotted an overhead exit sign, you know, like the one on 680 that says Street Avenue or Street Boulevard exit. This one simply said donuts with an arrow. It was so stupid, it was funny. I don't want to ramble on. But I do need to tell you that Tom and I were co-founders of East Bay Sliders in 1983, which then morphed into a much more significant and competitive running club called Pacific Striders in the 90s. By around 2005 or so, both of us realized that Pacific Striders was now top-heavy with older runners and losing steam from the bottom up. It was time to call it quits. At that same time, Tom wanted to devote more time to his family and left the club administration. And I was no longer running competitively. Hence, Pacific Striders passed into history as we merged with what is now known as Strawberry Canyon Track Club. But Tom continued, as pointed out by Lynn, to run competitively and was very successful. The absence of Tom in my life is a staggering loss. yet he left a legacy of intelligence combined with wit. Glenn mentioned that. His last text to me on the day before he died was a picture of my Christmas present, standing end on end, sort of like your beard story. I'm sorry that it was past time for us to exchange gifts. The memory of that humor combined with intelligence is what he left to us all. But it really stretches back 34 years for the two of us. That's a long time. But the other comforting thing is that I know he left us as a happy, fulfilled person. I never heard a bitter word out of that man. In any way, he was committed to his family and friends.
Goodbye, Tom. Oh, Dad, here with the show. Well, okay. With respect to the computer staging that the two boys participated in, I'm just glad that they didn't chase the biplanes that also came over to Green. And they were old timers and they flew low, and it wouldn't have surprised me if they would make some attempts at it. Tom played baseball, as you might see eventually on some of these slides, but he started at about the age of 8, and he Lynn said, played with the Bears in our bright red shirt, and it was a farm team. And he played until he was 15 years old on many teams, in fact, and his brother Lynn was on many of the same teams, except when he got separated between the minors and majors for a little while, and when he got to the seniors, then I came in contact with him again because I had there too. His playing of football, though, or rather, his playing of flag football was really the point where he started showing off his running skills. We would have a play where we'd have student body right. Tom would be the right end, come back through the crowd, take the ball and do a reverse, and almost always score a goal. That's where his speed really started showing up. Tom also played tennis, and to quote one of the newspapers' statement, Rigetti High's classy Northern League tennis champion, undefeated in their last 36 consecutive matches over 2 years, appears to be heading for another unbeaten season. Actually, Tom had a lot of ringers on that. And there was a lot of really good players on that team. So Tom was lucky and happy to be with those players, and he played very well too. So, but then again, at Rigetti High School, his cross-country team 1 year played first in the Northern League SPIF at Mount Sac. And in the last few days, I wasn't sure whether they actually played first or not, but I got on the internet and there's a trove and all that, a tremendous amount of information that spells that out. And then when he got in Cal Poly San Luis Obispo, he was a member of a cross-country team which won two separate Division II NCAA championships. 78 and 79. Again, this information I knew that he had participated in NCAA championships, but I didn't realize until I got on the internet that they had actually won two of them in a row. Over the years, as John said, he even did long distance running while he was tornado chasing, which surprised me. Entered races, and John said maybe they were expecting races to be won, and
But there is a biography on the internet, which I hope I can get posted with what we have posted now, that actually gives almost all his runs, all his winnings, winning runs, while he was from 40 to 49 years old. This really surprised me when there's a total biography set in there. When he got on the treadmill for the doctors, which gave him stress tests, they found they couldn't even get his heart pumping fast enough to make any precise measurements. And he not only had a big heart in that respect, but he had a big heart for everybody.
Mary has written an helper to come up and stand with her and maybe even read it. I may even take over, so just so you know, it's going to be a little fun of the day.
I knew Tom long before we ever were involved with the couple. We were friends. Back in the fall of 2006, I saw him at Heather Farm, stretching, wooding on the edge of the beginning, in the middle, or at the end of a run. After saying hello and moving all along on my way, I saw those beautiful blue eyes and a wonderful smile. I remember thinking the iron kid from the early days. Turns out he was. We started dating in 2007, and our friendship and love grew over the years. We were married in 2010. What was bringing him up home was the fact that he loved himself. He liked himself and portrayed that on those who counted him, his friends, his co-workers, but most of all his family. He taught his example how to trust in yourself and like yourself, which isn't an easy thing to do. He did this without realizing it. After a day at work, I can't wait to come home to him. His love, joy, sense of humor made for coming home the best place to be. My favorite part about him was his love for his family. Tom was, and still is, a family man. Jackie and Carolina were, and still are, raising him. He made sure that the rooms were decorated the way he wanted them to be. But in my life, they were cool, sporting events they were involved in, etc. As for me, as long as I was happy, he was happy. And I was truly happy. If I had a bad day, he would listen to me, hold me, and listen with those beautiful blue eyes. He made sure like everything would be fine. Every day I pinched myself, thinking this is too good to be true. He made our house a home, not just a house. He had all kinds of projects that would benefit all of us, whether remodeling, the building shed, or the lights, or replacing the runners in the hall. When I would see the neighbors in the courtyard, they would ask with such enthusiasm, what is Tom building now? Is he hammering? He is hammering and cutting, sawing something. It was wonderful. That is why Eric and Sarah are neighbors to the west of us. The day before he died, the girls were going to Grandma's Grandpa Matthews in Tracy. Their cousins, Natalie and Samantha, were here from Arkansas, and they were going back home the next day. So I went into and had a license for almost a year was going to take them. Tom wasn't comfortable with the idea, so he decided to take them himself. I think in reality, he wanted to spend more time with these wonderful girls, and he did. Now our fairy tale, my marriage, is over. to that smile. Blue eyes and wonderful sense of humor each and every day. I wish I could have the next 30 years with him. I was looking forward to growing old with him. I love you so very much. If I can say anything at all about the great life, it's pretty cool. The person you love and tell them you love them. Cherish the moments you have with them, both in you and in time.
I don't invite anybody, any of you, maybe come up here if you don't feel comfortable coming here. I do have the wireless mic that I can bring to you. I'm kind of a slow guy, so.
Hi, I'm here before you start. So my name is Jackie. Caroline is 16, Jackie's 14. I'm going to come home to represent the choice of myself. Called We Must Not Meet at the End at an End by David Burroughs. We must not meet at an end, for there is no end. We are not what we were. We cannot lose what we have gained. We have met, we have touched with each other's smiles, exchanged unknown emotions. We have embraced without shame. We have met for a season, a brief and elusive time. And so we part, the purpose done. Tom felt some trepidation about being a father first. Nervous about it, and then he met Caroline and Jackie, and fell in love. He enjoyed his girls so much, and they shared humor and silliness from the stories you've heard. He would text them silly things, pictures of the cats in boxes, things like that. And so they shared their humor and their fun and their love of cats together. And Tom always encouraged them to do their best. And he's so proud of them. Most importantly, he used to instill confidence and self-esteem and optimism in them. And he'll carry that with them the rest of their lives. And we have appreciated that so much. He also believed in self-compassion and self-efficacy. Believing yourself and your abilities. And as I said, so proud of them, and he will be this beyond what I can express. So please do share your story with us. That your daughters may not know. Caroline and Jackie will always want to know their father even better, and through you, they can do that, and we will appreciate that. If you don't feel that you can come and speak or speak where you are, email me or Mary, and we love the stories about him. It brings such fond memories. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Tim Keenan. Tom was my running buddy, my teammate, my running and racing partner, close partner for 22 years. I learned a lot from this man. That goes far beyond running. I mean, I can talk all day, but I'll just mention a few things. We were frequent carpooling and swapped a lot of our red races and events because we lived in the same area. We started. I showed up at Tom's house one day on a Tuesday and started running with his running group, and we got to know each other on our very first run, and we lived a couple miles from each other, and we decided to carpool, And don't underestimate these carpooling because this is where you really get to know someone. Especially if you're taking a long trip. And we took a lot of long trips together. The Red, Eureka, Eugene, Oregon, everywhere. But you know how it goes. You start out by just getting to know one another, small talk, where you're born, where you grew up, talking about your family, and you know, your favorite sports team. You know, who you think is going to, you know, really cool medal favorites in the Olympics, you know, that kind of stuff. And then before you know it, you're worrying in the 50s, and you start talking about property taxes and stuff. And comparing colonoscopy studies. So, you know, we ran the gamut of stuff. So one thing for sure, you know, Tom is extremely knowledgeable about all different subjects. This man has, you know, wild talent. And I know Mary Lynn touched on his main hobby at home, no maintenance or repair. Well, you know, you have no idea what he decided to do. I mean, he literally, you know, he took two homes and he remodeled and refurbished both of them. He tore down walls, you know, built bathrooms, built a living room. He, you know, reconstructed all the plumbing and electricity, and just, you know, he did, you know, 95% of the labor he did himself. And I just was stunning. I just couldn't believe what I was seeing. But, so, you know, needless to say, he was my go-to guy when I had stuff to do around the house. Yeah, he taught me to tile, he taught me to, you know, install paper lines, he taught me how to build a bathroom, he helped me fix my gas grill. I'll never forget, he even had me on the phone for about 45 minutes one night, fixing with a computer virus. Because, you know, Tom had some pretty bad computer skills. And, you know, he wouldn't take no for an answer. He kept trying this, kept trying that, kept downloading this, kept, you know, unplugging this, doing this and this. For a half hour, it wouldn't work, and he just kept trying. He said, no, you're not calling the Geek Squad. We're going to get this done. So, he said, you know, he was persistent. He wouldn't take no for an answer. And we got fixed, and, you know, that's the way Tom was. You know, he was selfless with his friends. You know, he had a mission, and he had to accomplish it. I'd be having dinner with he and Mary, and we'd be talking about stuff, and I would mention to him that, you know, I want to buy a new car, you know, a Toyota Camry or something like that, or, you know, I want to refinance my home. And he, you know, he talked about a little bit, he suggested that. So the next day, it might be by my email inbox, he was sending three different links to a car dealer, the best deal on Toyota Camry, and he was sending two links to mortgage dealers with that interest rate on home, not your home loan. So, yeah, that's the way it was. He wouldn't forget things. He would help out as much as he could with everybody. You know, so just the way it was. He came off like he didn't care, but he was so even keeled emotionally. He just, you know, just nothing rattled him. He would just, you know, put so much into things. And he was just so consistent, you know, every day with everybody he knew, all his friends, with me. I mean, he was the same guy I met in 1992 to the last day we touched each other on January 2nd. You know, that's what I love about it. One more thing, and then I'll let somebody else come up here. The day after I heard what happened, I talked with several people on the phone, a lot of you in this room today. And Tom really had quite an impact on a lot of you. You know, we had brief conversations, we had long conversations, you know, about a lot of things. You know, about running and racing, about, you know, everything that Tom had to do. You know, his sense of humor, how none of us were, you know, working on his quick sarcastic wit. He takes on all of us, and he was, you know, just, and he did it because he really didn't really care about anybody. Kind of, it's just nice to hear some of the comments from everybody, just knowing that you all care as much about him as he cared about you. And I think that's what we remember most of all about Tom. Thanks for coming.
and brothers and sisters. My name, with Ben's permission, I was unable to share a few words about Thomas. My name is Evelyn Ulitoa, and I am a common American. I was born and raised in Melbourne, Tampa, and I lived in Concord for about 30 years near Clayton. What I'm about to share, I do not mean any disrespect, but it is with precise detail. So I apologize for that. I was the last one to see Tom on the morning of January 3rd, 2015. He had fallen, and I ran to him, put my torture around him, and gave him CPR. I've been trained for CPR as a requirement for working for the government, and at that time, he was turned on his side, and he took two gasps of air, and it sounded like this. I apologize for yelling for me. I still get there and I said, sir, we're here to help. And we'll be okay. We're here to help. Because I led you this way all week. I realized that those two strong gasps of air were him speaking to me to send his love to his wife, to his two beautiful daughters, to his parents, and his siblings. I believe that is true. I'd like to offer a scripture. I don't know if many of you are believers in the Bible. I'm a pretty spiritual person, so if I offend you, I don't mean to. In Psalm 91, it reads, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, so the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon thee, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and shew him my salvation." After the incident, I registration in my car, which happens to be a Toyota Camry. And I cried. I wasn't sure if I could drive home to my husband and five children. And so something told me to call a mentor at work. And so I did call. Her name was Tracy. I called and I cried because I was in a state of shock. This is the first time I had to actually perform CPR on a live person. And also to gather myself to be able to drive 4 blocks away. She had given me healing during that time and enlightened me that I just wasn't someone that just walked by and ignored Tom. On Monday morning, this past Monday morning, I had breakfast with a sister and a retired friend of mine. And I shared with her about Tom. And she had shared with me, advising me that her husband, the carpenter, said, your first experience on CPR with a live person, not a dummy, is the hardest to get over. The following others, which I hope I won't be able to do or cannot guarantee it, will get easier. I cannot and will not forget Thomas C. Temple. The cold, rich morning of January 3rd, 2015, he changed my life to value life and know it is too short to dwell on the little things. May we all find comfort in the Most High. And my condolences to Mary, Kathleen, and Carolina. May we find in the dark times the scripture I read. It will bring out of the grieving, the silence, and may we be comforted by my sister's condolences. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Bob Herman, and I knew Tom through the Frank Circle. But I wanted to share my first memory of Tom. I don't remember exactly what year, but it was the early 80s. And there is a 10K run out at Clayton, before Clayton had the Oakhurst development. And I remember running the race, you see this guy way out in front, me and everybody else. And I didn't know who he was. I thought he was mostly a good runner. Then after the race was over, I was looking on the results, and I saw this guy's name was just in time. He beat me every time, except one, and I'm kind of sure this is if you don't mind. It was a all-comers track meet at DDC. We used to have those back in the 70s and 80s. And ever since high school, went to Mount Diablo High School Concord, ever since high school, I always wanted to break the 40-30 mark. It's kind of a goal of mine. And I kept bumping, getting real close all the way through my 20s and early 30s. I was just a second or two away from doing, from breaking that barrier. Then, when I was age 33, middle summer, I stepped to the starting line of the DC track. And this is probably about a dozen runners in this race. Quite a big crowd for a mile race at Altamont meet, but they all took off, and I was right on my target pace, running about 67 seconds per lap. And then there was a star right next to me, and we were kind of duking it out, and there was four guys in front of us, and I didn't think I was going to catch him, but this guy next to me, I wanted to sure beat him if I could. And we were neck and neck all the way to the finish line. I beat him by half a step, and I finished in 4:29.8. And I never told Tom that story, but that was the reason I broke 4:30. That was the one and only time I ever broke 4:30. So, you know, I have Tom to be thankful for that, because I think without him pushing me, I wouldn't have made it. But he was certainly, he could run circles, he'd be over a mile, he was way out of my league. He could run circles around me, but he was a fine man. We greet each other at races, say hello, and that was about all the conversation we really had. But you know, good to see him whenever I show him a race, and good to see his. He always had those sensitive eyes for people kind of remark. Anyway, I miss Tom a lot, and appreciate the family writing us all little bells and sharing this memorial today, and thank you for everybody who's been sharing the story.
Well, I've never ran a 4:30 mile, but I know I got driven one. Specific Striders. And Tom and I were talking, and
He likes to coach Discovery Canyon Track Club, which is what we formed, and he just wanted to spend more time with his family, and I really enjoy coaching. So I was more than happy to take over a role as the coach of Delta Creek for 25 years, from 1983 to 2008, he was coaching in the club, which you may have to be pretty giving. And, you know, my father passed a month ago, and that hit me really hard. And when I heard about Tom, I was just sort of numb. And then I was out for a walk on my break yesterday and started bawling. Tom was the webmaster for the Pacific Association, kind of started the website, and it's the best track and field and running association in the country. It's a model for other associations to follow, but better than the national entity by far. And he gave so much for that. And, you know, really, like our younger generation, and who is you is our young webmaster. It's pretty fun to see them debate intellectually online at a very high level about computers. Dave's brilliant, and PhD, and Tom's brilliant. And I'm just like, I'm just like, you guys go ahead and figure it out. And I'll try and, you know, Tom was wonderful on road trips also. He just, and it was Tom and Bill Selleck, and one of the Humboldt. And he liked to talk to you as much as I did. I did something kind of goofy myself, and his sense of humor was off the charts. And I took a 4-day caffeine tape with thinking that would help my half marathon climb up the tumble in 2010. And so I headaches and miserable and grouchy. And Tom doesn't know what I was talking. So we got up the morning of the race. Actually, the night before, he grabbed the napkin. We weren't going to drink that cheap hotel stuff. And we go to Safeway, like a quarter or half cup of tea. So, ground tea and coffee is strong. And then close it up in a coffee pot and close the napkins in the cone. It's the best cup of coffee I've ever had. I mean, really solid race. Vietnam better is waking me up and making a nap. And we've developed a really good open wing team all of a sudden. He's really happy about that. They won the PA Grand Prix Cross Country Champ League Cup. Way overweight, club and technique. He's real. We're going to have a chip on our shoulder this year, so watch out, PA. I'm happy.
Somebody
else. Hi, my name is Emma. And I was preschool with Jack in Carolina, but I have this wonderful family. And I remember like almost every weekend I would go to their house, and no matter what we were doing, I would go and just have like the best of times. And I remember Tom always being so happy and silly. And I wonder, it was like he had this glow in his eyes that just like radiated happiness. Silly. And I don't know. I'm just glad that you guys were a part of me growing up. And also, I saw Tom on the trail about like 5 months ago, and we're not as close to friends as we used to be, so I thought it'd be awkward if I would say hi to Tom. And, I didn't say hi, and I really wish I did. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Kathleen Dunlap, and this is my husband, Doug Nick. We really wanted to say something today because Tom and Mary mean so much to both of us. But every time I sat down to write something, I either burst out laughing or I collapsed into tears. It's both pretty much equal measure. The bursting out laughing, some of you might not know this about Mary, because most of the people think she's pretty quiet. So I thought, give her a martini. Very different person. She talks a mile now. And so when we had the luxury of sharing a martini with Mary and Tom, Mary would start going, and Tom would just look at her with those blue eyes and that big smile with a face naked full of love. And those were the laughter moments. It's a sad moment, of course. The thought that she's not going to be here with Carolina and Jackie and Mary. It just so doesn't seem right in so many ways. But this is a celebration of Tom's life, and
I was struck listening to everybody today. Kathleen and I knew each other before we became a couple. We started dating in 2007. We didn't get married until 2011, so Tom won that one too. I didn't even know I was in a conversation. But in reality, I feel like we both won. And actually, I think everybody in this room won. Because we didn't talk. And that's a legacy of inspiration. Watching him and Mary was always the way to us. Role model. And they all won.
My name is Del Matthews. I'm Lori Matthews' mother and Jackie and Carolina's grandmother. And I need to speak to the extended family. We talked about Tom's running buddies and storm-chasing buddies. But I consider myself one of his best friends, the old mother-in-law. My foremother. truly shared a sense of humor. You know, he never told a joke. He saw all the idiosyncratic places in your life and he could laugh. And I'm just going to tell you one incident. He was the referee at a game that Jackie was playing in, and she was up to bat, and he was standing behind the hands behind his back, looking at each ball that came by. And finally, he said, "The ball, you're back." And I thought, what would make Tom really laugh? I ran around the barrier. I kicked dirt on his shoes and said, "Are you blind? Now it's way out the window." And he laughed, and I laughed. And I loved him, and I always will. He was at our house the day before he died. He was at our house, and when I said to Mary, "It just seems so unreal." We went in the backyard and we picked some oranges and some lemons. And Mary said, on the way home, he said, "I'm coming home and I've got citrus."
There was always something to drink or eat or whatever. He would make sure that he's helped her grow from being a bit of a nervous hostess to a beautiful flowing hostess, and she could handle pretty scary things that she went out. There were a few things that, oh, something wouldn't come out right, or that could be okay. She was, you know, he helped her calm down whatever he knew it was, and to a point where we actually had 10 kids or 16 when you're over there, and that was awesome. And even to a point where my father, who is here, who normally doesn't drink a beer, he sampled how many times he had a drink. He's not a wine drinker, so, you know, so trying to get you to do something that you wouldn't normally do. And that's something, and I'm sure that probably others have many stories of that too, where doing something out of the ordinary. And that's the Tom, I'm sure most of us want to remember, helping you become a different person, whether you do it or not.
My name is Paul Osborne. I knew Tom for 34 years. We worked together at PG. In 1995, we had a reorganization, and I was introduced to Tom as his roommate. And for 15 years, I got to come to work every day. It was and funny. And it was huge. Like, he and I loved Gilbert. We thought that there must be a mole at TGA. The Gilbert cartoon was just like the world. And so we thought, who is the mole? You know, and we were always trying to figure that out. And so I got this one Gilbert cartoon that he really liked. I did too. And so I wanted to share it with you. And so first Gilbert talking. Hi, I'm an engineer. That means I have excellent employment potential and I can fix things around the house. And so she says, how are your social skills? Wow, what if you want the room? Said Gilbert. And so every day, you know, we come into work and there'd be this dialogue surrounding Gilbert. Other funny things in life. I just really value that. So I think the statute of limitations is passed. And, we had this one boss. I couldn't quite remember if it was Tom or Paul. But if I walked down the hall, you know, and the boss would see me. Hi, Tom. I go, hi. This went on for years. We'd get back to the office, just laugh. It was great. And then he would surprise me. He would create little funny things. And so, you know, we have these things come out for reorganization at work. And, you know, they get like a little propaganda and stuff. And so then one day I come in and on my chair is this view on how that reorganization should have been. And so he had taken the propaganda and then pasted it over. And that's one of the values. And in the propaganda was joy. And Tom and Gilbert had joy and highlighted both. So I kept that. It was just tremendous. Every day was just so much fun. So we had parallel lives. You know, we had children. We talked. So we talked about any number of things, and we value each other's life coaching. And so we
PJ contacted me and said they probably got to share this room.
Hi, everybody. My name is Jeff Peters. I moved to this area in 1989, and I've always been an avid runner, and I met my mom probably about 1990-1991. And from that time, I've enjoyed going on trips with him, competing with other people on our team. And I just wanted to tell a few stories and also read a little bit from the East Ridge Riders news notes. So this is a story version. One of the trips that we would take almost every year was to a race up in Humboldt County called Humboldt Residence Half Marathon. And this race starts, it's very beautiful. Half marathon, it goes through redwood trees. But the starting line is hard to get to. There's a parking lot which is near a river, and to get to the starting line, you need to drive a really long ways along a highway to an exit which is miles and miles away from the starting line, and come back and park in that spot. And you have to kind of walk quite a ways to get to the start. Well, Tom found a secret parking spot, and it was located only very close to the starting line. And you weren't officially supposed to park there, but you figured out that if you kind of went there and pretended to be just going there as a tourist, then you could park there and everything would be fine. And so every year you would go there and use that secret parking spot. And then over the years other people started to learn about the secret parking spot. And it became kind of you have to be careful not to arrive too late, otherwise the secret parking spot would be taken. But every year we got there on time. So that was one thing that he did. There was mention about his perfect score in math. Well, he, I think, was also an exceptional writer. So I think his English was quite good. And with the East Texas Tigers news notes, this was something that they would, for years and years, the East Texas Tigers running club. And I think one of the main pieces of this news note was just the humor that came out in the stories about the races. Phil Cartwright, who's a member of the club, told me once that when he would write the stories for the news notes, he would write the story and she would send it to Tom, and then Tom would edit it to make it funny, and then it would go into the news. So that's the way the news notes are. So I didn't go through and pick out specific areas, but there's a story about a relay that was found. This is from the 1999 news notes. So the headline of the story is, Riders Repeat at Relay. And underneath that top big headline it says, and sold out for 3 years. So the relay is Napa Santa Cruz relay. It starts in Napa and finishes in Santa Cruz. It's about 196 miles. And the way this relay works is there's two vans. There's six people in each van. And so the vans take turns. So each person in van A will run about, I think, 6 or 7 miles. And then, after the person finishes, they hand out the next person. So when van A is done, then van B takes over, and then they send them to van A again. So each person from each van has to run 3 legs. So and there's no stopping, so it goes over day and night. For, I think the limiting time might be about 24 hours or so, I can't remember. So the start of the story says, so just some background. So our team won it the previous year, 1998. We won. So we're coming back to defend our title. So it starts off. And with the topping of wait till next year from last year's runner up, Sylvain Myers. 12 steel jaws, resolute, fierce, pious, and one East Ridge Rider towed the starting line for part 3 of the relay to defend our title. Next year had arrived. 12 months of humble pride haven't diminished the hubris of last year's first losers, Ottawa's 37 West Valley Track Club, as reference fighter Van Banner this year proclaiming, we are your worst nightmare. And we could only shrug and smile, knowing that the blind justice delivered by the almighty deity of runners, the stopwatch would decide who would occupy those future night tremors. Save your top boys, there's some racing to do. But here's another question. So the Killer Bees Band, the band Killer Bees, let's name this the band, Killer Bees, lay sprawled on the grass of the Presidio, pretending to get some sleep. Like a dripping faucet, the insistent calling of this bib number from the race announcer was a constant reminder that we were not home in death, but in the midst of an arduous relay. For the first time in the race, Sam B actually got to enjoy the lead. We knew that we would have to scratch and kick to maintain it, however. And the story goes fairly far. I don't want to read too much. So it came to the end of the race, and with the family runner now of the race, Chris Ross would have an extra leg to run, the anchor leg. I let Chris Ross keep his stomach race right in case the name of the crash. It was going to be our tired runner against theirs for the final leg. So basically the teams were tied down. As loyal strikers knew, a real dispute erupted at this point. West Valley wanted to drop out two more of their runners for a total of four, so that their best remaining runners could finish the race. After much discussion, it was agreed that since we were the only 24 people on the planet that really cared about the race, since we were so close anyway, why not rise above the moment and finish together? I wish I could say I was satisfied with the decision made in my absence, but at that point we were all spent in front of any offer that would end our suffering in an honorable way. Both teams were on course to shadow our course record. Victory was less important. But it was the beer and warm camaraderie that built up following the race that convinced us that all that is the battle, not the result, that is remembered longer. So these same climbers won their division cleanly. This is the women's team. The women's team won the relay. A sweep for EPS open team, enough glory for one day to adorn the blue Broadway. So they decided to tie open team tied to them.
We're going to take up three more, and then we have some time for comment. Then we have some time to share some. Including top four and
printed it work this morning, so bring the computers. I'm Tom's sister, and I'm a far better writer than public speaker, so that's just the worst day of my life. Always reading instead of entertaining and stories or reading back my brother's homeless. As kids were my great friend as any other, my brother became the kindest soul. I rarely saw him without a smile, except for an expression of concern. He seemed like a boat with ever sure directions on the smoothest of water, even in the worst of storms. He was mindful and thoughtful of his family, his friends, and strangers. He had the intelligence, passion, commitment, and drive in anything he wanted to be. He was without pretense, artifice, and a need for control. He was surprisingly modest for his stature, for his accomplished career, his excellent running, the courage to chase tornadoes, his involvement in politics to the point of pissing off Earthman Holden, I remember, but one of the guys that wore a team coming, and best of all, a most And best of all, and most of all, family man. All of his love served him well. He found a life that made him truly happy, allowed him the time for what he held dear. First, he found a career he enjoyed, where he was well respected. Then came family and two daughters, both carried his best qualities, though his teenage angst still drained him. Perhaps jewels in the making, like his father, and of course, Mary, his lovely wife, that I hope to spend more time with. Tom's dry, gracious wit was my favorite quality. He was both gatherer and linchpin that attracted and connected so many. I wish, like so many here, that I spent more time with him, that I accepted many more of his invitations. But now that brings new meaning and words to the time when I've all spent with each other. My memories are not as many or as clear as I wish, but these are those I'll never forget. The time I smashed my box car behind the door.
or 6 year old. I'm sorry, it's the reason. And then retaliation, he pulled myself in his eyes out. The time he tried to parachute off the roof, he was in blanket. Tom and I injecting some old army phones like they had on NASA in the garage in the fort, which actually worked. How we are lured by the colorful flashing lights of a mosquito truck and ran through the fog of pesticides spewing out the back. It was the 60s, who knew? Tommy, Lindy, and I closing off the hallway and turning off the lights for a pillow fight. So at this point, I was the only one with headaches after. And from what I felt, it felt like two pillows crumbling me. And the rumor of his involvement in the herding of sheep into a certain dean's office. Discovery in the morning. I still think at times that Tom would find something funny and then remember it's gone. I still expect him to open the door of my life with a smile and a beer in hand, saying as always, well, it's about time. He was the best person I've ever known, and the last I should have been to you.
I've known Tom for 32 years, since he joined PG&E in 1982. Tom and I both spent most of our careers in PG&E's gas transmission organization. Tom loved his work, and he was very good at it. Tom was an excellent engineer. Tom was mostly involved in gas quality, and he was an expert in the odorization of natural gas. Tom, throughout his career, had on-call responsibilities, and you know, he would get calls sitting late at night or on the weekends, and Tom was always eager to help. So our Lord and Savior has called Tom to be with him. Who knows? Maybe there's a gas quality project waiting for Tom in heaven. I think he'd like that. Tom will be missed by me and his co-workers. Thank you, that's all I have to say.
We've heard a lot of great stories and characters about Tom. I feel like I got to know him better this morning a little bit. Losses like this one are really hard to wrap my head around. The man was in great shape. Won every race he was in, a lot of races he was in, and what a really good day. And it just, like so much of our world, doesn't make sense. It doesn't just, this isn't fair. This is wrong. This is, we ask why. Why? You know, the hard part is, you know, there's no clear cut answer to why someone goes where they go and why others live longer. It's just, you know, we think we have everything under control and we don't. You know, we like to think we've got things nailed, but we don't. There's a pastor who makes me feel like I'm supposed to have these answers to why things happen. Why the hard that is what is. Why do things not happen? Why hard things happen? Why life is this way? Why it's unfair? Why losing someone like Tom happens? Don't get me wrong, I have faith in this God that I believe in. I'm a minister. And we ministers are trained to be ready to share what you know when times like this come. I'll be honest with you, this is my first telecast employee company, my first one we're out there. And Austin, great to get to know Tom a little better. I don't want to do a lot of these. I'm a Joe Wheel kind of goofy guy. So this stuff is, sitting with Mary has been really moving to me. There are times when there's just no words, and that's where I find myself doing it. Just sitting and saying, I'm so sorry. Do you even try to enforce a religious cliche? It feels weird, and so I'm not going to do that. All I can say to hopefully affirm you all who love Tom more than you and so much more than I did is when things like this hit me, I lost my stepfather in 96, and I went to this memorial, which is morbid, and this has been kind of jovial. And thank you for those of you who shared, and for those of you who are going to write down your thoughts for the girl. I think it would be, I wish someone had written down thoughts about God, the stepdad, but that didn't happen. But I think if you do that, if you think about it, do it instead of just told the writer to marry boy or girl. All I can say to hopefully encourage you or affirm you as we kind of bring this to a close is that. When this stuff hits me, I need to lean into this God that I believe in. And the community of God that this God has allowed me to have. And when I'm unsure and fearful, like I've been all morning, thinking, what am I going to say? I have said before this God that I believe in. Sometimes men fail on some things I've read. I read two short verses that I think God gave me. There's a lot of tears in here for appropriate reasons, but Revelation says, He will wipe away every tear when the time comes when it's all said and done, and we know Him. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain. For the old order of things has passed away. And that brings me a little bit of hope. And finally, for the brighter and awesome plans that I have for you, says this God, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you future and a hope, and then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you and bring you comfort. I pray for comfort for all of you. Great memories, great thoughts. Talk about Tom. Share those stories. Keep his memory alive. What a great man. I'm honored to have been a part of this day. Let me close this in a word for him. I'm ready to go. He's in a good crowd. I think I can help the boy. Let me pray for him if I could. Father, we don't get this stuff. And, so much love for someone in this room. And so I pray you bring a peace that surpasses understanding and a hope that goes beyond anything we've ever seen. And I pray that this memory stays alive in our stories and our thoughts and our emails to this girl. Thanks for coming from the life that impacted so many. Amen. So it's right next door. I don't know what you find on the back of it, but we're all heading. Thank you so much.